Jesus. Hallelujah. But with him, glory to God. I want to prepare you for next week, unless the Lord changes it. He very well may. But I felt the inkling this last week to preach on a little different subject next week, and that is the subject of music. And I know, first of all, God created music. And he created us as beings to be sensitive to music. And so I think we're going to talk about it next week. It's a scary thing. Yes, Billy Regan. You know, we need to take a little minute here and pray for Dee Nemeth. She just had a feeding tube put in. And John Alexander, Lord, we pray for all of our brothers and sisters that are hurting tonight. Those are just a few of them that we are saying out loud, but there are others. But for Brother Billy Regan and for John Alexander, for Dee Nemeth, Father, in the name of Jesus, touch them tonight. Touch them tonight. Strengthen them with the strength of the power of God. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless you, Lord, and we thank you for your ministry that continues to this very hour. Hallelujah. Raise up the sick in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You purchased our healing, Lord. We're not going to deny that. Glory to God. I thank you for that tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Father has a goal for you and I. Some people are goal-orientated. My goal is to be able to get out of bed every morning. So some goals are higher than others. But the Father has a goal for us. And you know what it is. Much fruit. Abundance of fruit is the Father's goal for His branches to produce much fruit. Not just some, but much. I grew up just south of Lake Ontario. And because the winters are just a little bit gentler near the lake, is a prime land for orchards, specifically apple orchards. They had some cherry orchards as well as some peach orchards, but mostly apple orchards, all the different and various kinds. And in September, and when those trees are loaded with apples, what a sight to see. These trees just loaded down with apples. And I cannot lie. There's many times we would coax our bus. Listen, this is true, too. I can't believe we did this. Our bus driver would stop alongside an orchard. We'd jump out, grab an apple, and I'll jump back in the bus. I hope the farmer didn't mind. But you couldn't pay us to pick it. But if the bus stopped, we'd run out and pick some. The Father's goal for us is to be like that. Fruit laden. Heavy fruit. How is this achieved? And I'm going to try and do my best. That is achieved by living in perfect fellowship with Jesus. Abiding in the vine. That's how it's achieved. It's not by you setting certain goals and all of that. It's achieved by living in perfect fellowship with Jesus. And friends, it is possible to live in perfect fellowship with Jesus. He did it. He made the way. I don't want to have to bring up Revelation chapter 3 again. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He wants to have perfect and complete fellowship with us. Dakota was saying, listen, I talk to him all day long. Why not? Let's live in perfect fellowship with Him. Let's get our advice from Him. And so sometimes various things come into our lives that we think are hard, we think they're difficult, and some are just downright afflicting. All of this, and you don't have to agree with me, but all of this is part of the wonderful process of pruning us so that we'll produce more fruit for the kingdom of God. Every difficulty, I don't care if the devil started it, every difficulty is something more that I can prune away from my life to see that fellowship with Jesus will cause me to overcome. I'll come through it in victory, and I will grow thereby. These people that try to run away from all of that, they try to live a life with no conflict, with no troubles and all of that, I tell you, it's a pretty hard job. I'd rather just give them all to Jesus. But my friends tonight, and I'm not going to preach as long as I did this morning, at least I don't think I will. There are real inhibitors to that very process that must be dealt with harshly. I said it this morning, if you think Jesus was a softie, He was not a softie. He rises from the dead. And the first, after He says, peace be unto you, to His disciples, it says He upbraided them for their lack of faith. He said, what is wrong with you? I told you. The angel told you. All these people told you, and you still don't believe. There are things in our lives that must be dealt with, what I mean by harshly, strictly, or make it a number one priority to deal with those things. And it's not somebody else dealing harshly with it. It's you dealing harshly with it. For these things literally block the flow from the vine through the branch. They block the flow. And if you can't get the flow out of the vine to the end of the branch, you've got troubles at the end of the branch. And so we want to take away, listen, for a believer's life, it is natural for the flow of the vine to go into the branch. It's a natural thing. You're born again. You're a new creature. We don't operate like we used to operate. We just sang it tonight. He changed everything in my life because we're now, our source is different. The world was our source before, but now the true vine is our source for everything. And it's natural for a believer then to receive the good things in the vine to go right into the branch. All the way. So part of our job is to eliminate any dams, any blockages. And if you got to put stents in, you got to put stents in. Anybody here had open heart surgery because you had blockages in your heart arteries? Well, bless God. Look at that. Y'all eat right. All right, let's go there. Has anybody had stents put in? All right, we're stent congregation, not open heart congregation. It's all because we do not want the blood flow to be blocked. We want it to be free and clear. We want it to go out of the heart and through the arteries and then back to us through the veins. We want to get that done. We don't want to block the flow. Well, neither do we want to block the flow of the nutrition, spiritual nutrition, that comes from the vine to the branch. If we have blockages, then it makes for no or feeble fruit that has no staying power. Now, fruit has a couple of uses, good uses. The first thing fruit does, it's the reproduction part of the tree, of the vine. You reproduce whatever the vine produces through the fruit, not through the branch. Branch has not, you got to get it to the fruit. The seed is in the fruit. And so, one of the things the fruit produces is it multiplies whatever the vine has given it. The second is that it is the tasty portion of the plant. It is useful nutrition. It is useful for health. And it's useful for healing. The fruit. All of that is good and wonderful. The reason I'm hesitating here is I have to do some more study on it. But, remember at the Last Supper, Jesus says, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until I drink it anew in the kingdom. And I'm starting to think, well, we all think it was just this. Well, what? He said, I'm going to be rejected from here on out. I'm going to be rejected. And I have to go into production mode as the vine to die and be resurrected. And I'm cut off until I drink it new in the kingdom of God. All right, that's just a little aside. I haven't worked that all out yet. So I'm going to tell you what the inhibitors are. I'm going to tell you what blocks the spiritual arteries. I'm going to tell you tonight what exactly blocks the flow from the vine to and through the branch tonight. And it's a little list, but it's quite extensive. If you turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. Here are your blockages. These are your calcium deposits in your spiritual arteries. Galatians 5, starting with verse 19. Now the works of the flesh. Can I say the works of the old branch are manifest or shown. They, what goes on in the heart, if it's not quite correct, they, it will manifest or be shown. Which are these? He gets going right away. The first four, in my mind, are all sexually related. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. I guess the Lord knew what our problems would be. And it's all nasty. All of these things are designed by the enemy to ruin us. It is not fun. It is not pleasurable, but for a moment. And they'll all hurt you and hurt you bad. This wantonness that the enemy puts in us, this lasciviousness, this uncleanness. And adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness pretty much describes our culture. It is filled with it. You should be scared to send your kids away to college because of this very thing. If any of this exists in your life, lasciviousness, looking at others with lust in your heart. All right, we don't want to go there. All right. That's what Jesus said, didn't he? That's Jesus. He's hard. He's hard when he says, if you even look on a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. And yet, in our culture, it's celebrated. I remember Brother Carter preaching. He said, my uncle kept going to church trying to get right with God. Well, he had all these women in church showing their cleavage. He's like, how am I supposed to get right with God? Well, there's two sides of that whole thing. Look away. Look away, Dixieland. We must be aware that this is the work of the flesh that blocks. I don't care how famous of a preacher you are. If you've got adultery or fornication or uncleanness or lasciviousness in your life, it is going to bite you, and it's going to bite you hard. Week after week after week after week after week, a new one pops up. And if you track any of this stuff, I guess I'm tuned into these things, but big time pastors or preachers or evangelists or whatever, time after time, and it is so gross that the guy that supposedly was the pastor of the largest church in America out of Dallas, Texas, for 5 years committed, in my opinion, rape on a 12-year-old from 12 to 17 years old. And here he is pastoring the largest church in America. Huh? The richest church in America. Yet sooner or later, that is going to bite you. If you are in an illicit affair tonight, you stop it immediately. Listen, if you have, we used to preach porn magazines. I guess they don't have, I don't know if they even have them anymore. We've got to get rid of that. You can't have it anymore. You are blocking God's nutrition to your soul, and it is inhibiting you from producing fruit at the end of your branch. Stop it. I don't care if it's a habit. I don't care if I'm addicted. Listen, Jesus delivered us from this garbage at the cross of Calvary. It's my choice if I do it. Oh, tell me I'm helpless. You are not helpless. You have the vine on your side. We're going to have to get serious and say, no, I'm not going down that road in the name of Jesus. You know, the devil's goal for your family is to ruin it. The quickest way I know to ruin a family is any four of these things. How many want me to get off of that? All right, we get it. Idolatry. I moved on. Well, let me tell you. When I was growing up, I never heard a woman swear much. I don't know how old I was before I heard a woman use the F word. There is something that has happened, and I don't want to just blame the quote women's lib movement, but has a lot to do with it. How base the speech of women have become. And even Christian women, their language has become base and low. And you sound like a bunch of heathen guys. I don't know whether women thought they wanted to be equal with men so they could cuss like them or whatever. Can I tell you something? And I know it's bad when he does it, but it's not ladylike. Oh, God needs our women to be ladylike. You ought to dress like a woman of God. You ought to speak like a woman of God. You ought to present yourself as a woman of God. We need a revival in the church to deal with adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. We need a Holy Ghost move so that we'll move away from the temporary pleasure of somebody looking at us and thinking lustful thoughts. You see, it's bad as men. We gravitate to that so easily. But it's just as bad, ladies, if you're dressing so a man will look at you like that. Oh, Brother Hammond, say amen so I can move on, because this is tough. This is tough. You wonder why you got no fruit? You're looking at the wrong thing. You're looking at the flesh. We need to look at the Spirit. All right, I'll move on now. But it is not
I'm just going to tell you, this is not just about young people. There's more fornication happening in some city. You can't believe the stories I hear. The most drunk place in the valley, the Sub City West, and Sub City Grand. God help us. It makes for rotten fruit. It smells. And the church must flush it out of our system. Flush it out. Do whatever we got to do, but flush it out of my system, Lord. The power of the vine will, if you'll let him, he will flush out this stuff. If you quit liking it so much, he'll flush it out. All right. God help me. Verse 20, idolatry. Anything that we put above or alongside Jesus. Anything we're more interested in than him. Will block the flow from the vine to the branch. Witchcraft. All things that have to do with occult practices. All things we're making potions, which includes your drugs. And you know what? The devil doesn't care whether you have a prescription for it or not. He doesn't care if you buy it off the guy on the street corner. He doesn't care if it's crystal meth or whatever else you can get addicted to. Just because you've got a prescription for it. There are narcotics out there that doctors write prescriptions for. But I have known Christian people that have 3 or 4 doctors so that they can go get their narcotics and always have a supply. Because we've become addicted to that kind of thing. I feel for you. I really do. But honey, we have got to be clean by the blood of the Lamb. It doesn't mean you don't take prescription drugs. It just means they better not own you. Your dependence has to be on the Lord. And I understand the very difficult thing of what I call chronic pain. It is the bane of our existence, this chronic pain. And when you have a disc in your lower back that isn't operating right, or you have something along your spine and there's nothing you can do, and all the liars on Facebook that says just do this exercise and your pain will disappear. All of that, nothing works, and yet you still don't want to be addicted to whatever pain drug they give you. You want to have control over it. And let me tell you, if you ask the vine, he will help you. Witchcraft. Anything that has to do with horoscopes. The black ball or eight ball, the magic eight ball. Anything that has anything to do with that, reading palms, all of that. It's of the devil, and it will restrict the flow of Jesus in your life. You do not, I do not depend on anybody giving me a horoscope, even if you get it after dinner at a Chinese buffet. We depend on nothing. No psychics. Psychics are agents of the devil. Do you know that? They'll give you enough. They'll tell you enough. Well, I can't go there. I'm just telling you. I'll tell you something else about witchcraft. What does God say? He says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. You want to be Mr. Rebel? You want to be the Lord sends the law in to bring justice to something, and you want to throw rocks at those that are bringing the law? Well, listen, that's witchcraft. You're rebelling who God sends in.
You're a rebel. You don't want to do a God what you want to do your thing. It's like witchcraft. That's why Saul lost his kingdom. Manipulation. All right, Debbie, you opened your mouth. When you use people and manipulate them so that they'll do what you want them to do, it's witchcraft. It's like trying to put a spell on them. I wasn't supposed to get stuck on these because I got the good stuff on the way. A work of the flesh is hatred. Now think of that for a minute. If you carry hatred in your heart, don't expect good fruit to come. My dear brothers and sisters, most of us here have had things done to us that would cause us to hate. We've been betrayed. We've been rejected. We've got stuck and stabbed in the back. We've been abused. We've been used for somebody else's profit. All of those things. We've all had things that would lead to hatred. But bless God, I want to be like Stephen, he who said before he died, "Forgive them, Lord, they're stupid." Carrying hatred in your heart does not get you revenge against those that caused it. It just hurts you. And it inhibits the nutrition that the vine sends through the branch. Variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies are all in a big category of violent type things that cause us to always be at odds and cause a strife in the middle there. A lot of strife and wrath. Have you ever known an angry person? They are not fun to be around. Because it's like, sometimes I play golf with an angry golfer. Not Dave. Once in a while, every golfer needs to get a little angry just to get himself back centered. And normal people and the words they use and disgust and all of this kind of thing. And it's like, I guess we don't need to be angry. You know, golf is the unconquerable sport. You cannot conquer it. You can try. And I guess that's the fun of it is in trying to get over on it. It's very difficult to do. And so, listen, I finally came to this, and I'm not innocent, my friends. You take a pitching wedge and you're about 95 yards out and you shank it into the water, you find out what kind of Christian you are. Been there and done that. I figured something out here a couple of years ago. I'm driving home. Sometimes I like to drive home, and sometimes hard ride home because you relive the round in your head. And I'm riding home, thinking about my round, and it was not too pleasant. And then this thought came to me: who cares what your golf score is today? Tell me who cares. I know Deb doesn't. And let me see. Maybe Dave Ogden might care just this much. I finally came down to it. Like, nobody cares but me. They really don't care. No, nobody's going to stop being my friend because I shot a certain score. Nobody's going to be my friend because I shot a certain score. No one really cares. So tell me then, why should I be angry? That's most things in life, folks. It really doesn't matter as much as you and I think it is. So we might as well let it go. Go buy another dozen of balls because you put a dozen in the water or whatever, you lost them. And verse 21, envyings. envy is such a... Envy's bad. Jealousy is, I want what you have. Envy is, I don't want you to have what you have, and I want what you have. It's a little worse than jealousy. You can't be... I could never figure out why something good happened to somebody, somebody else couldn't be happy for them. Last week, Broncos fans, I had a little problem with them. But other than that, I tried to cheer for them today. Nothing works. Let's go on before I get too lengthy here. Listen, if you got envy in your heart, if you think your neighbor's car is better than yours, and you the old keeping up with the Joneses, no one cares. Really, they don't care. No need to be envious. Pastors of small churches, do not envy the guy with a large church, because probably he compromised somewhere to get more mass appeal. I talked to a pastor of a large church one time. What to me was a large church, 500-600 people. All right? That used to be very large until we had stadium churches. And he said, buddy, I would trade places with you in a minute. All I have is problems. And I go, really? He said, yes. I said, all right. I won't envy you any more then. You go have your day and I'll have mine. You do not have to envy somebody else's job. If it is there, you're blocking the fruit-producing substance that Jesus is putting in you, the blood and the Spirit of God. You're blocking it. And you can come to church all you want. You can shout. You can raise your hands and all of that kind of thing. But honey, if you got this garbage in you, it's going to inhibit your fruit. And if you're married, who I'll ask about your fruit is your spouse. Or your children. Murders. It's not acceptable. It's not acceptable to actually murder someone, and it's not acceptable to murder them in your heart. When you tell lies behind someone's back, you are murdering their reputation. Should we go on? Drunkenness. Depending on alcohol to get you through, to dull your pain, inhibits the fruit that the Father wants to grow. You cannot depend on alcohol and Jesus at the same time. It really doesn't matter how we were raised. I got to find out what's right. Listen, if you want to drink alcohol, you have at it. But I can just warn you, I have never seen the Holy Ghost in operation with somebody that's got alcohol in their system. And here, the Holy Spirit says this is part of the blockage, drunkenness. I do not know how preachers can preach behind the pulpit and suggest that their congregation drink in moderation. Alcohol is designed so you don't use it in moderation. Because if you drink a little bit, it loosens you up and says you can take more. The design of alcohol is so that they sell liquor on TV, and it's like, and if you have a problem, call this number. I'm drunker and skunk. Can you help me? Yes, I can help you. Put the bottle down. It's your first step. Revelings is a party spirit.
And he doesn't even stop there. All these nasty things, and it says, and such like. He's saying, there's more here, but I just don't want to list them. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If you continue in these things, and such like these things, the saw will have to come out. The Father will come for an inspection, and he'll find no fruit. And the branch then will be severed from the vine, for there is no spirit flowing through it anyway. Have you ever seen a dead branch on a good, healthy tree? I have. For a winter, my profession was tree trimmer in the middle of the winter. I have now reached the bottom of the barrel. And you come along a healthy tree, and there's one branch. It sticks out. It's dead. It's dried up, and it's dead. And you wonder what blocked whatever that branch needed. All the other branches are getting it, but something blocked what that branch needed to succeed. And it's all the works of the flesh, my friends. You can be part of a great church. You can be part of a great tree and still be dead. All right, now the good part. We cannot have the fruit with these other things. We've got to. Jesus will help you eliminate them out of your life. He died on the cross of Calvary, rose again the third day, so that we could eliminate these things, these manifest works of the flesh. He died and raised. He filled us with the Holy Ghost, so we don't have to live with these things in our lives. And if you are here tonight, or you're listening on Facebook or YouTube, and these things exist in your life, make a promise to God. I am going to open myself to the power of the Holy Ghost until every last one of these things are eliminated, because I am determined I will be a branch that bears much fruit. Burn whatever you've got to burn. Throw away what you've got to throw away. Spend some time at an altar. Get that hatred out of your heart. Some of you have lived with hatred for so long, it's become part of you. And you wonder why you don't have a lot, why you struggle in this area or that area. Well, okay. The wonderful fruit that Jesus will produce in us or through us is by our fellowship with Him. How can you be hateful and be in fellowship with Jesus? The first thing He'll deal with is Scott. Listen, we got to deal with this, so that we can have fellowship. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you've got to hold on to an offense, if you've got to hold on to your lust or whatever, if you've got to hold on to that, then He can't have full fellowship with us. You can have a good feeling at church. You can feel the Spirit of God, but you will not bear fruit. Here is the fruit that the Father is looking to produce in me. It is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is this wonderful, abundant fruit that God wants to grow in me. Someone could challenge me on this, and it's okay if you do. But He's not talking about 9 separate fruits. He's talking about 9 elements in one fruit. They all come together. And you don't have to work at any of them. If you are working like, oh God, I got to love this unlovely person. You will fail. This is the fruit of the Spirit. This is where you say, Holy Spirit, come in, convict me of everything that is the work of the flesh, so that it can flow. And it will flow. And all of these things, I said, all of these things will begin to manifest in your life. The first is love. the great love of God will be shed abroad in our hearts. Hallelujah. Towards God, we'll love Him enough to quit all the garbage. We'll love Him enough. And that love that is vertical must be transferred horizontally. Show me a person that doesn't love people, and I'll show you a person's got problems with the previous couple verses. You don't know how hard a life I've had. I don't have to. Jesus paid it all for your hard life. Love is not it's not that gooey thing. Love is very practical. Love is, it comes from the inside out and is produced by the Spirit of God in me that comes out. I don't have time tonight to tell you that whatever's in you will come out sooner or later. Let me say it again. Whatever's inside of you will come out sooner or later. And if it's the Spirit of God, love will come out. I enjoy being around people that have just been baptized in the Holy Ghost. They are the most loving people. They want to hug everybody, rejoice and all that. I love it. Because God is love. Hallelujah. Agape. I got to go on. Joy. You don't have to be depressed if you're letting the vine flow. Depression. Let me tell you something. And I know about chemical imbalance. But listen. Depression's from hell. I said depression's from hell. Come to hurt you, wound you, keep you down, keep you from fulfilling God's plan in your life. We've got to let the Holy Ghost replace our sorrow, our despondency, our discouragement with Holy Ghost joy. You don't have to be hippy skippy all the time to have joy in your heart. This joy in my heart is not conditional on circumstances. It's saying, I've got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Real joy is mine. Hallelujah. So here's the indication that I'm growing fruit. I will have love in my life. I will have joy in my life. And I will have peace in my life. The devil's work is to keep us all upset about something. All the time. I think some people can't live unless they're upset about something. There's got to be contention somewhere. There's got to be action somewhere. I got to be upset about something. And Jesus saying, no, I'll give you peace. Peace. You can live in peace. Our brothers and sisters that are being persecuted all over this world know that in the midst of persecution, you can live in peace. Long suffering, patience. I said patience. This comes as a group, friends. This comes from a group. You can't just pick and choose. Well, I'll take love and joy, and that's it for now. Gentleness is going to have to come later. And I've heard preachers say, listen, this stuff is what you work on as you mature in Jesus, that these things are developed in your life. And there might be some truth to that, but honestly, all these come from fellowship with Jesus. You spend time with Jesus, all of these things will be a telltale sign of your life. And if they're not there, go back to the previous verses and begin to deal harshly with them. Gentleness? How'd that get in there? You deal with people. Have you ever been around someone who's gentle? They're different. And you said, well, that's just their personality. Maybe not. Maybe God has filled them and gentleness comes. Gentleness does not mean timidity. It means you're kind to others and you understand what they're going through and you're gentle with them. Doesn't mean you're walked all over.
It just means you're not harsh and you're not in everybody's face. Goodness. Goodness. Just be good. Just speak, which means doing the right thing. Somebody said, what should I do next? This is what you do next. Do the right thing. Next. Do that which is right next. That's what you do. That's goodness. Faith. Go ahead and believe. Go ahead and believe. I tell you, the more I'm in God's Word, the more time I have fellowship with Him, the more faith I've got. The more I watch killing and nasty stuff on television, the less faith I have. I was just talking about the news. But the more fellowship I have with Jesus, the more faith I have. I can believe for wonderful things. Hallelujah. Because I'm with Him. And I know there's nothing impossible with Him. Meekness is a lot like gentleness. It does not mean weak. It means strength. And yet you keep yourself low in humility. Temperance, you are in control of your life. You are moderate in your eating. Temperance. You have control of your faculties. You're not easily upset. You're not easily gone bonkers. You know how to handle situations because the Holy Ghost is leading you in there. Against such, there is no law. Now, the most wonderful thing about this is this. I get to choose whether I bear a lot of fruit or not. It's my choice. Nobody can keep me from it. If I choose to live with the works of the flesh in my life, well then I am choosing not to allow the Holy Ghost to grow fruit in me. But if I choose to leave those things and come over here, then I get to choose. Your parents don't choose for you. Doesn't matter how you grew up. Your parents, your grandparents, nobody chooses for you whether you're going to be a fruit-bearing branch or not. You choose, and I choose for me. The devil can't stop me from this choice. All the demons roaming around can't stop me. The government can't stop me. My boss can't stop me. I get to choose what kind of branch I am. And if I came to Jesus to get born again, you might as well get all of them. Come, Tim. You might as well get all of Him. If you're attached to the vine, why not get it all? Why not get everything that He has for you? Let's give Him a problem. Let's bear so much fruit He doesn't know what to do with it. And I'm afraid some of you will try to work at it. And it's not work. It's just humbling yourself before the Lord. And saying, you know, without Jesus, I can do nothing. I receive the pruning of the Father, that whatever inhibits. You got just a few more minutes? Because let me tell you something else I learned that winter that I was trimming trees. You look for branches that touched each other. One of them's got to go. Because if they're touching each other, they'll rub against each other. And neither one of them will produce. Folks, if we're too worried about the branch next to us, if I'm too worried about whether you're going to produce fruit or not, I'm just rubbing. If I depend on what you have in your branch, and I'm trying to get close to you. I've always thought it interesting where people will flock to where some famous person is in order to get the blessing there. If we start to depend on people for what we need, it's just two branches rubbing against each other, and neither one will produce. One of them's got to go. We got to let the Lord cut those things out of our lives and trust Him. If I knew how to end it, I would. But Would you stand together with me? I only open the altars if you want to come and commit yourself to being a fruit-bearing branch in the great thing that is called, some call it the church, but the product of the vine, Jesus Christ. That you will not be satisfied with just a little fruit, but you'll, the Father's plan for you and me is to produce abundant amounts of fruit for His kingdom. And you see that fruit, someone's going to come alongside and wonder at you and wonder why you have this fruit. And they'll take that fruit and they'll taste and see that the Lord is good. And perhaps they'll want to become a branch attached to the vine. I'm done talking. But if you'd like to find a place here at the altar, find a place at your, wherever you're standing, whatever the case might be. So the Holy Spirit stuck my nose into this. He said, I want you to preach this in no uncertain terms. He said, you preach it and you preach it this week. All right. So I've done the best I can. But if you'd like some time with the vine as branches, maybe you need to submit to the Father's pruning. You've been feeling bad for yourself because of the situation you're in. Just come and do business with the Lord tonight.